why privacy is dead and why we might even be living. In a police state, at facebook.com, February 16, 2015 MP3 edition. Abstract. Most people will eventually ask the tough questions, like what is the meaning of life, etc. In my opinion, some questions like this that most people should eventually ask themselves are why isn't there much privacy? How did the SOD-ash called military-industrial complex come about, etc. This post attempts to use a little bit of math to give a partial answer. Here is the Facebook post. Perhaps many have already forgotten, but in 2013 it was leaked that our government is listening into people's private calls, is watching people, has access to cameras everywhere, etc. And post-2001 there has been a semi-militarization of the police force, to enforce our laws, many of which are new. Basically, one can make a case that we are now in a police state, or are at least getting closer to it. I'm not making this case here. I'm just pointing out that many people are making this case. And perhaps that's none of my business, except that someone begin comment James Park Rend comment was sort of blaming me for it, since I allegedly invented a powerful technology that tracks people. Here I link to a discussion on Facebook in which someone posted a news article about how the police shot over 600 bullets at someone fleeing a crime scene. An innocent person was killed. I had argued that it was not necessary to have done that, since the suspects were secretly being tracked while they were fleeing. Someone countered, and eventually implies one could achieve privacy by going off the grid. I said nope, one cannot go off the grid, and had commented about an invention of mine that magically tracks where most people are most of the time, even if they don't own a cell phone. As an aside, the invention is patent pending, but will probably never become a patent. It is on appeal due to being rejected as obvious in light of at least 19 references, which appears to be a new record. Most patent attorneys think 3 references is too many for an obvious rejection, since if it was obvious you would not need to combine so many references. Right bracket Mr. Parker was being extremely polite, but that was the concern. In that thread, I promised to explain that one shouldn't really blame me, since this all started before I was even born. So here I will try to make the case that I'm innocent purely by my time of birth. The video above begin comment see below end comment was made in 1956. It basically says that in 1956 they could track everything really threatening by a supercomputer. Here is the audio from the video.
Protection comes high, sky high. Today we must be on guard in the sky when it comes to protecting our resources. The national resources that are so precious to us. Offensive weapons of tomorrow are here today. Supersonic. Super destructive. Seemingly unresistible. To protect the future of America, the defense techniques of tomorrow had to be discovered now. They were discovered in electronics. That is how Sage enlisting computers into military service. Electronics for combat use means new concepts, new tools, new weapons. You are listening to the heartbeat of the Sage computer. Every instrument in this room is constantly monitoring, testing, pulse taking, controlling. For this is the programming and operations center for the Sage computer which surrounds it. To it come continuous streams of data, which it continuously absorbs and stores on magnetic drums, tapes, and cores. Data from radar units, Texas towers, picket ships, early warning aircraft, ground observer corps, weather bureaus. To say nothing of up-to-the-minute data on all regularly scheduled commercial air flights. It also packs away information as to the number, location, and characteristics of all military craft, all anti-aircraft guns, all defensive missiles in the area. And this computer is on the job around the clock with 24-hour-a-day reliability. It is really two computers, but only one is operating the system. The other, with the same vast memory, performs as a slave, checking calculations and results, ready to take over in a matter of seconds should the master computer falter. All this is housed in one of the new headquarters of computer defense, one of the direction centers of what the Air Force calls SAGE. Beyond the fantastic capacity for calculation and memory, SAGE possesses the newest and most revolutionary advance in data processing, the display scope. A computer-generated visual display, on call, as needed. Until Sage, the miracle of the computer was its ability to calculate in split seconds and then provide printed information. But Sage needed more than this. For the lightning shifts of air battle the Air Force requested from IBM, a computer capable of translating volumes of changing data into a continuous flow of interpretations, which could be understood at a glance. Air defense required split-second presentation as well as split-second calculation. Given this objective, IBM applied the latest extension of data processing, the display scope, a giant picture tube on which computer results are instantaneously and continuously translated into graphic images. In Sage, airmen have the battle visualized for them on the computer-generated display. Two floors above the great computers are the batteries of display scopes. Although they look like the offspring of a marriage between a television tube and a radar screen, display scopes do not show physical images transmitted from elsewhere. They display the results of the computer's findings. Sage, with its display scope, also has one feature possessed by neither a television or radar screen. It has memory. In case of enemy air attack, not only can a clear picture of the changing air situation be displayed on the scope, but if the airman wishes to see how things got that way, the scope can recall any previous phase of the situation from the computer's memory. By analyzing the past, Sage can project into the future. The computer can furnish information on the countermeasures available so that the officer in charge can make his choice as to when and where to fight. Once he has selected a plan of counterattack, the computer guides interceptors and missiles to the enemy. After encounter, the computer guides the interceptors back to their bases. Aladdin's lamp couldn't do more. What is the most precious commodity that electronics defense wins us? Time. Long before the bomber reaches our defense perimeter, the computer's memory will identify it as friendly. But if a flight of planes were identified as hostile, then in a matter of minutes... This is electronic defense in depth. And what better reason for an effective air defense? But is this protection enough? Here is protection too. The protection which comes with the possession of weapons of retaliation. Just as our defensive powers had been advancing, so have our instruments of attack. The demands of plain warfare require the fantastic ability of modern computers. The question was, how could the electronic computer be made airborne? Problems of consequence when designing a computer for ground installation became overwhelming when it was proposed to redesign them to fit into jet bombers. First, the problem of space and weight. The interior of a modern bomber is cramped for space as is. How can a bulky computer be fitted into it? For every extra pound of dead weight carried, a bomber must add many more gallons of fuel. Second, the problem of reliability. Could a computer be designed to withstand all the stresses of flight? Weather, climate, turbulence. Third, maintenance. Could a computer be designed for easy ground and air maintenance? These and other problems were all finally solved by unique design and by employing the basic principle of modular construction. The same multiple arrangement principle which was applied in the design of this doll furniture enabled the Air Force to procure an airborne computer by designing an electronic assembly packaged in self-contained units which are then joined. A computer of flexible construction was achieved. It can either be installed in a compact unit, or parts can be distributed according to the space available. Self-contained units make it easier to achieve durable construction and easier to test each unit for reliability. Under all conditions an airborne computer is likely to be exposed to, and some highly unlikely ones. High altitudes up to 120,000 feet. Low temperatures down to 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Below zero. High temperatures up to 200 degrees Fahrenheit. Sunlight. And rain tests. Life tests of mechanical and electronic units. Vibration tests. In this test, the question is not, will the computer work under this condition, but how long will it work? Once the continued capabilities of the airborne computer were established, there was only one other major obstacle: field maintenance. To solve this problem, IBM drew on its commercial experience. It converted its control panels to military use. In order to test a unit of an airborne computer, the technician merely selects the proper control panel. He then plugs the units into the test equipment, and the signal lights tell him whether the units are working or not. This puts testing computer units in the same class as testing light bulbs. Today, the airborne computer is no longer a theory, nor an experiment. It's a fact. Tested, functioning, practical, and restricted. It has gone into production under the label BRAIN, Bombing Radar Navigation Equipment. A new plant is being rushed to completion in Owego, New York, to boost its output. Here is a scale model of a B-52 showing the relative locations of BRAIN equipment. The rest of the system, computers, periscope, and screen, are designed to take up a minimum of space and to give a maximum of use. Computers have taken wing.
Hey, Phil, I got some crosshair jitter in both azimuth and elevation. Would you pull the AR-5 and replace it with a spare?
Sure, Don. Give me a minute. It'll only be a second more. Yeah, I think I got it now. Okay, the amplifier's replaced. How's the jitter?
Settle down. Yeah, it's okay now. Thanks, Phil.
And as long as we're on guard, as long as we're ready to look ahead and move ahead, the future of America is secure.
That was the video. Resuming my Facebook post now. What was the purpose? So their kids, our parents, would be safer. If you were in charge of the US military, and it was your job to protect us from the Soviets, and nuclear bombs just killed a bunch of people, begin COMMENTNAGASAKI plus Hiroshimen comment, you'd be on board with IBM's brain and Sage. Included in the tracking back then were the most important potentially threatening things, UFOs begin commentus and non-dashes aircraft and comment, all military aircraft, and locations of all known missiles. That seems about it. NORAD wasn't founded until 1961, but I'd guess that may have been just a name change, since brain is a little too close to Wachowski's Matrix, Harlan Ellison's Skynet, etc. So what? How does this make me innocent? Well, Moore's Law says computers doubled speed every 2 years, roughly. The video was made in 1956. That's about 2015-1956 equals 71 years ago. So Moore's Law implies that today's brain bombing, radar, navigation, equipment, or national awareness computers are 2 to the power of begin comment 71 divided by or slash 2 equals 35.5 and comment equals 48 trillion times more powerful than it was before. Even if you take away a lot of zeros, this improvement in intelligence capability allows tracking of most people most the time today. Not just the world's military aircraft flying in 1956, not just some metadata, either. This video, when combined with logic and Moore's Law, explains everything that seems strange today. Today's world is the 100% logical extrapolation of the POSTDASHWWII 1950s cold-war era. It was a no-brainer. Those in power would argue they had to do it, although Eisenhower was clued into what was happening. Perhaps with the help of 1984 begin comment published in 1949 in comment. Left BRASEKETHYPRLINK to Eisenhower's famous military-industrial complex speech. Right bracket, if only people had listened to Eisenhower, things might been steered differently, but they didn't, and they weren't. This video even explains the space program. You see that rocket at the start? That's an early ICBM, as an IBM begin comment creators of the video and comment, without the C1's people, like Kennedy, and the Russians saw ICBMs go up, they knew we could go to space. And it explains Star Trek. Yes. Did you know the same people working on Sage divided by our slash brain consulted for Star Trek? It also explains HAL 9002. Watch the video from my perspective, and now you too can understand why, for better or worse, we are where we are today. So in sum, the above logic, and the video below explain all the three-lettered agencies, the Patriot Act, 2013 leaks, pretty much everything you might wonder about. There is just a lot more intelligence today. Just as you'd expect. So I plead innocence, because of the law. Moore's Law, in fact. This is the end of Jason Arthur Taylor's Facebook post about why privacy is dead and why we might even be living in a police state. Here is the 2015 follow-up to this post about the MIC. Eisenhower's speech warning us about the military-industrial complex was made on January 17th. 1961, but I traced it back to the 50s in my analysis here. http://jazzontaylorist/pound/mic. My thesis was that a confluence of factors, one of which was the nuclear explosions at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, led to our current situation. But, sadly, it can perhaps be traced back even further. Recently, some new evidence has come to light that pointing in that direction. Below you should see a picture of what were, ostensibly, perfectly good planes apparently secretly dumped into the ocean. There is a lot of speculation as to why this was done, but let me discuss here the most plausible one, in my opinion. It has to do with a desire to maintain income divided by /payroll at some of the aircraft manufacturers after WWII. This is pure conjecture, and of course purely hypothetical, but a perfect MIC might work as follows, written in the archaic basic computer language, 10 REM secret. 4 elitis only. 20 REM 30 REM. MIC program, 40 REM 50 foment, magnify, and tweak inherent fears and angers between people, especially distant people, who the masses have no clue about 60 popularize the possibility of war, in the press and media 70 sell military equipment begin comment e.g. weapons and comment to governments in case of war 80 call for war in the press and media 91 state of war begins. Sell stuff like gangbusters at inflated prices 100 reinvest as much profit as is possible begin comment from sales of step 70 and comment back into pro-war actors, including, but not necessarily limited to media pundits, and, via campaign contributions, political candidates that are secretly pro-war. Yet publicly anti-war left brackete ladder is ironically required to have them win elections, since there is less ROI for a publicly pro-war candidate begin comment since they would likely lose an election and comment. Begin comment at the end of the day most Eisens want peace and comment right bracket 110 Godo 50 120 REM begin comment the line below will never reached but is included for compilation and comment 130 in question if this MIC program was being run how might one know. Let's look a hypothetical situation after WWII to maximize long-term profit. You actually would want step 70 to have balanced sales, such that each side, in a war can mutually destroy all the weapons. This would be perfect war efficiency, so governments can always buy more weapons. Compare that to an ONDASH MIC program. The short-term profit maximization occurs by selling unused MIC equipment, on the open market begin commento the public end comment. Post-war for the victor is a time of overall prosperity, wealth, and profit begin comment since the spoils of war and leftovers can all be sold end comment. So, if the MIC program is running, there would be a measurable difference in what happens to weapons after a big war is over. Consider just one POSTDASHWWII airplane. Short-term profits are maximized by selling it to someone who would like to save money from the airlines. Nothing wrong with paying extra for hot babes begin comment see picture number 1 in comment, or a helipad to get you into NYC begin comment see picture number 2 in comment, but perhaps you'd prefer to just fly yourself and save yourself the aggravation of the then-ash expensive airports. Again, long-term profits are maximized by balancing weapons so that they all get destroyed in each war. There is going to be some excess. Nothing is perfect. But you would want to destroy that excess so you can lobby Congress to avoid a decrease in your budget in times of peace. You might even just dump the weapons of war into the ocean. See picture number 3 or http://divided/wall.dailymail.co.uk/divided/wall/stunning-pictures-reveal-render. Or stick them into a huge trash compactor. Question, have war expenses really declined since the last major war? Answer, no, DOD is where a lot of your taxes go, even though the draft is something I've not really seen in my lifetime. Would you tell people about this destruction? No, you'd keep quiet about it, since it is a clue that the MIC program is in play. But what if they found out? Well, then you could just mothball the equipment. Not that that is happening. No siree, Bobberuni. See picture number 4. And don't tell the planes were discarded, because they are unsafe. It is my own father's invention using ultrasound to find microscopic cracks in fuselage before they become problems. That is part of the reason commercial planes can be operated almost indefinitely. Begin comment http://divided/wall.google.com/patents/is4292848 and comment, and do you really care about safety when many buyers enlist suicide bombers /kamikazes? One can go even further down the rabbit hole on this. For example, the likely timing and location of the aircraft dumps would suggest that the dumping occurred before the aircraft were even brought back home, along with our troops. If so, a possible scenario is that it was the goal of the top brass to come back empty-handed. Similarly, a lot of people wondered why on earth we nuked the Japs after the war was basically already over, but to come round full circle, recall that was sort of the starting point in justifying why the MIC needs to exist. I guess that is just a coincidence,